someone who's on TV starts making news because of their political views, political thoughts, or items that they may push. And Chuck Woolery is world renowned for his television work as a game show host. It's funny, we have Brittany in, who's in her early 20s, and she knew who Chuck Woolery was. And I'm not saying that Brittany's shouldn't know that, but that's how well known Chuck Woolery's name is, and he's on the other end of our line. How are you, sir?
Good, Tony. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very, very well. It's always fun to Wikipedia folks, and just to see that that you are a military guy who worked for Pillsbury. How in the world did you end up in TV after a background like that?
Oh, just lucky, I guess. Yeah, you know, it's like everybody else. I mean, I took chances. I went to Nashville. I was in the music business 9 years, which people don't know about because I don't really talk about it. And from there, it led me to Los Angeles, and from there, it led me to do the Merv Griffin Show, and that led me to do the pilot to Wheel of Fortune, and then that led me to do Wheel of Fortune, and I became a game show host. So it's all a sequence of events, and I guess to your audience, the younger audience out there, it's you have to take a chance. You've got to put your life on the line sometimes and take a chance and get out there and try. And I guess that's what I've done most of my life, is just been out on the edge pushing it a little bit. And so that's how it happened.
Now, why did we get stuck with Pat Sajak? Because you were doing very well. And that's tongue-in-cheek, but Wheel was doing very well when you were hosting it. What happened?
Well, I just had a financial dispute with renegotiations with Merv Griffin, and our contracts came up the same and at the same time, which doesn't usually happen, but it just happened to happen. We were together, so his contract with NBC and mine with him came up at exactly the same time. And I was just talking to Peter Marshall about this. I used Peter's salary at the time to renegotiate with Merv, which was a very fair salary, and he didn't want to pay it. And so NBC said, well, we'll pick up the slack, and Merv said, if you do, he was mad by that time, and he said, if you do, I'll take my show to CBS. So that was it for me.
Well, some of the other cool shows you've worked with, Love Connection, The Big Spin, The Home and Family Show, The Dating Game, Greed, it goes on and on and on. Tell us what you've been doing lately before we dive into why we really got you on the phone.
Well, I've been in Los Angeles last week working on a pilot that, everybody's working on a pilot. But anyway, let me put it this way. I'm not retired and I'm not dead yet, so although I may be close. we're always working on something. I actually have two projects, but that's not my main thrust. My main thrust is right now restartcongress.org. That's really where my head is.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I was here in Michigan. I have a business here. It's a little small fishing business, and we manufacture lures and things. And so my partner and I were out motorcycle riding this last September, and I was venting about something. And he said, you know, do you want to get involved in politics? And I said, that's the last place I want to get involved. And he said, well, when we go back tonight, he's an advertiser. He said, we go back tonight, well, let's do a little PSA, and you can vent to your heart's content. And I said, well, you know, all right. So we did it as a last-minute kind of thing, just before I went back to Texas. And we did three of them. And, well, they went viral. We just basically did it to entertain ourselves. And they were funny and kind of caustic. And so after that, we got called by the Cato Institute and said, look, you know, you guys are the most watched political thing on the net, our YouTube. We have one that did 1.5 million hits. It's political. So he said, you just can't let this go to waste. And they invited us into Washington to talk to them, and we did. And so I said, look, this is a really good idea. I would like to see congressmen terminate themselves, so to speak, and get rid of their own jobs. And I think the American people, there's about 80%, very close to 80% of the American people that do believe in term limits. And so I said, you know, I can support that, and I can support it for both sides, Republicans and Democrats. I don't think there's any difference. It's the American people that really are important. And so if I go from now till my dying day and try to accomplish this and maybe pass the mantle on to somebody else, if we can't accomplish it, it's going to take an enormous amount of money and presence in order to get these guys to term limit themselves. That's the 28th Amendment, basically. And so I'm here for Michigan CPAC in the Lansing area. I'll be there tomorrow at the Capital City Baptist Ministries in Holt. We're going to start with the Michigan CPAC, and I'm going to speak to them, and my partner is going to speak to them, and then Terry Land, who is former Secretary of State of Michigan, is part of our team, and she's going to be speaking tomorrow. And so we've actually put this together in a Michigan-based kind of operation, but it's a national operation that is dealing with restarting Congress. So, you know, all of the problem, most of the ills and most of the money and everything else really lays at the feet of an inept gridlock Congress. And these guys were supposed to be turned over every 2 to 4 years. Nobody ever believed that these guys would make a career out of politics. So my whole line is, the way I like to hear career and politician in the same sentence is, boy, those voters certainly ended the career of that politician.
Chuck,
that works for me.
What do you think about the notion, though, that if you do have term limits, you have a lot of folks coming in who don't know what they're doing, it takes some time to become acclimated with the job, and then by the time you figure it out, it's time to go. Well, what's your response to that?
Well, what was response to the founding fathers? Do you think they didn't think of that? Let me tell you something. Here's the deal. These guys have so complicated government that it sounds like it takes a genius to get in there and do something. It was never meant to do that. It was a citizen government. That's what it was. So that's when they said it was a great experiment. It was the citizens running their own country. They were supposed to go there 2 years, pass laws, and then go back into their communities and live under the laws they passed. These guys have become a ruling class. I want them to go in there and not know where the bathroom is for 6 months. They do so much damage by the length of time that they're there, and the perks, the excesses in Congress, the deals, the money. Our Congress, you know, everybody keeps saying the president, every senator, congressman I hear, everybody in news says this, we have a broken system in Washington. It's not broken, it's corrupt. It's totally corrupt. And the founding fathers knew that if you spent more and more time in Washington with that kind of separation from your people that you represented, that you would definitely become corrupt.
Sounds like Chuck Woolery for Congress.
No. Sean Hannity asked me. He said, "Look, why don't you run and I'll support you?" Because Sean was not for this. And after I talked to him, he said, "You know, it sounds like actually it's a pretty good idea." And I said, "It's a great idea, Sean. It's how it should be. We should be turning these people over. Let them rotate into the Senate after they're in the Congress. Let them run for president or run for governor after they do that. If they want a life in politics, fine. Let them find it outside the offices that they initially run for. Keep them there for a term limit and then get rid of them so that other people can have a chance to have a voice in our government. It'll be far more balanced. It'll be far more probably contentious in a lot of ways. But, I mean, it's up to the American people to run this. This is really in our hands. It's the one thing that we can control our country with, and that's our vote. And most people don't realize how serious it is right now. It's very serious.
All right, Chuck, before I let you go, tell us where you're going to be tomorrow and what the event will be.
It's the Michigan CPAC in Lansing, the Lansing area. I'm going to be in Holt, Michigan, at the Capital City Baptist Ministries. And I'll be there speaking tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Along with Mark Young and Terry Land, and I hope everybody will come and be part of what we're doing. I think it's really important.
All right, Chuck. Next time you're in Michigan, give us a call. We'd love to chat more politics with you. Very interesting and intriguing. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. RestartCongress.org. Thank you, everybody.
All right,